Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how are you?
Oh, doing all right. How are you?
Oh, well, I picked the wrong week to get back into Twitter. other than that, I'm doing great.
You know, I don't think there would have been any good week to do that.
Yeah, you got a good point. And also, who am I kidding? It's been like a month, probably, since I've been back.
Right.
So, yeah, Betty has to get some shoes. So that's where we're going right after this. She has outgrown her shoes.
Yeah, I remember being that age and my mother just getting really upset because I kept outgrowing all of my shoes.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. She is... Jennifer will tell you that she is taller than her. That Betty is taller than Jennifer
right now.
I think they're the same size. I don't think that she's surpassed her mom yet, but she will.
I guess it depends on what kind of shoes you get her next.
Hey, wait a second. I think you got something there. And you should get that looked at. Hey, yep. Jokes. It's happening. Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, Jennifer has a new set of Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
And we did a test. The latency on the headphones, 5 seconds.
5 seconds?
5 seconds. That's when she's away from her phone, right?
Okay.
But it's still connected. So you got the my phone to her phone latency, and then the latency from her phone to her headphones, and the latency from her headphones back to her phone, and then her phone to me. So it's not just the headphones. It's
wait,
like, you know, all
what
of it.
Are you, what kind of shenanigans are you pulling? You're connecting the phones via Bluetooth?
No. Well, her headphones are hooked into her phone via Bluetooth.
Right.
Right? And she's far away. The further away, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think the further away you get from your phone, you know, that lengthens it a little bit. You know, your Bluetooth to your phone connection. All that I know is that 5 second delay.
Well, wait.
I timed it.
Okay, yeah. 5 seconds is a long time, but the way you described her phone to your phone to her headphones to back to your
phone. So it's my phone to her phone.
What is that? Your phone to her phone. What is that?
So I'm calling her on the phone. Oh, maybe, I've left off an important thing. I'm talking about in our conversation.
Okay. That is where I was getting confused because I'm thinking of just
sorry
like
about that.
Her listening to music. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you streaming music from your phone to her phone? What's going on here?
Hey, if you're just new to the podcast, I've got some minor mental irregularities. This might come up later. But one of the things that happens, and Ben can attest to this, is that I will often start in the middle of a conversation that I've had with myself and then bring other people into it. This is an example. So, yes, when I call Jennifer on my phone and she's wearing her headphones, there's a 5 second delay from when I say something to when she hears it.
It's like one of those satellite delays when we go out to our reporter now in the middle of the war zone.
And it was funny, too, because I didn't get it at first, right? The first time that it happened, I thought she was, like, super mad at me. Because it went like this. It was, I'm going to be coming home soon. Uh-huh. Oh, no. What's going on? And, of course, you know, she's responding immediately after she hears me. And finally, we did a test where I said, go, and then she said, okay, or whatever.
Yeah.
5 seconds, which is a long time.
That's hard. That's a long time. It's hard to have a conversation when there's that long of a delay.
Exactly. If I know that she's wearing them and I'm calling her, I will just say a really quick sentence and then say, and goodbye.
We had a baby. It's a boy.
Exactly.
But
the good thing is that she doesn't like to spend a lot of time talking on the phone, so it works out.
That's my kind of people. I still use regular headphones for my phone. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough to still have an ancient phone that has a headphone jack on it. But I almost convinced myself that I should buy a pair of Bluetooth headphones because I put my headphones through the laundry. I pulled a Paul Goody.
Oh, hey! How's it feel?
I
I've actually... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yep. I when I realized that they, like, when I pulled them out of my dry clothes, I'm like, uh-oh, well, I guess that's it for this cheap-ass pair of earbuds I bought off of Amazon for, like, $15.
Yeah.
But they still work. I tested them out. They still work, so I'm still using them.
Well, there you go. See, now what I did was I bought two pairs, and I leave one at work and one at home, and I no longer put them in my pockets.
Yeah.
And it's really helped me. But if I'm in the car and I want to listen to the headphones, I can't do it, which is good. It's a good thing. So speaking about Amazon, makes me think of billionaires, makes me think of a clip that I saw on Ellen DeGeneres' show. They had Bill Gates on, and Bill Gates had to guess the prices of common items.
I heard a bit of that on NPR. I think it was on Marketplace.
And I have to say that people were making fun of him for not knowing that. I did not know the prices of that stuff either.
Well, see,
and I do all of our grocery shopping.
Well, see, that's the thing. The only things that I heard him try to guess on were items that I do not buy, like Tide Pods.
Yes.
Ellen asked him how much Tide Pods were, and I couldn't tell you how much they were.
Yeah, $19.95. What?
Really?
That's insane.
That seems expensive.
And then I realized that's the other thing, is that I live in the Midwest. So stuff that, like, for instance, Ben, how much is gas right now in Seattle?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I think it's just under $3. I think it's like $2.80-something, $2.90-something.
Yeah, okay. So for here, it's $2.34.
Okay.
So not a big difference, but somewhat of a difference. Yeah.
I don't drive all that often, and my car gets good gas mileage. So I fill up my car maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. Not that often.
And we talked about movies already, how movies are cheaper here.
Right.
Like the rest of our shows and stuff.
And you don't have to stand in long lines.
Let's think of other things price-wise. Name something that you know the price of, that you know the price of for sure.
Something I know the price of. I know the price of a bottle of water, like a 12-ounce bottle of water.
Okay.
They're generally the same price.
How much is that?
It's about a dollar. They go between like $1.29 to $1.69.
Okay, so that's pretty close. It's a dollar here usually.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not so bad.
Sadly, though.
Maybe we're not that different after all.
Why can't we be friends?
Exactly. Yes. Speaking of why can't we be friends, do you think the gun people and the non-gun people are ever going to get together and be like, hey, we agree on something?
No, because then the gun people would just start shooting the non-gun people.
Well, this is what I was thinking about. What if there's a civil war between people who, because they talk about that. You're heading for a civil war between the people who want to be able to have guns and the people who don't want people to have guns. It's not going to work, right? That's what people keep on saying. It's not going to work.
I don't know. I figured out
how it would work.
If the government military was on the non-gun side.
That's right. You said, yes, the exact same thing that I was thinking. If the military was the non-gun side, and it was not that no one has guns, but simply civilians don't have guns, then it would work out.
Well, I don't think here's a more realistic view of that. The military is not going to be on the non-gun side. The military is going to be on the no civil war side.
Oh, hey, that's a good point.
And so,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But then, you know, you talk to people, like, if the military were on the non-gun side, then you talk to people who will be like, well, in Soviet Russia, they took away all the guns, they took away all the guns, and look what happened to them. Or Hitler took away all the civilian guns, and look what happened over there. I see a lot
of these. Apparently they didn't do that.
I know, well, I mean, see, that's the thing.
And I see,
but if
this is a keep it wrong kind of thing, but that's what I heard.
If you have... people, right-wing people who, friends on Facebook who constantly post these alt-right memes, and that's what you believe. You believe that like it's only the military or only the police having guns leads to a literal police state.
The thing that I thought was kind of interesting, I was thinking about pilot's licenses.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who my daughter is friends with his daughter. I mean, we're friendly. I don't know if he'd consider me a friend necessarily, but I like him a lot. He has a ham radio operator's license, right? He has a pilot's. What's that?
I never really understood why you needed a license to operate a ham radio.
Oh, it has to do with knowing that you're not supposed to, like, jam in on other frequencies and stuff like that, I think. Like a ham radio could be misused, right? And you kind of being licensed,
misusing my ham sandwiches all these years. I've been doing
it wrong. Wait a second, hold on, watch out,
sir. Put the ham sandwich down.
Ben's going into his tight five on ham sandwiches. I like it because I've listened to enough podcasts with comedians that I know that the tight five is a thing.
Yeah, I love it. I used that in a phrase too, as a quote joke recently too. We were talking about something where somebody was going to make an appearance. And it was like, you know, some obviously non funny, like some government official, some non funny person. Yeah. What, are they going to come and do a tight five?
Exactly. Yes. But the thing is that he has a pilot's license, he has a ham radio, and I realized that in a different type of the United States, right, he might also have a gun license. And that would be one of those things of, I'd be like, oh, man, I should get a gun license at some point in time. that'd be cool. I could have a gun and shoot it and stuff. You know, where it's the mark of being someone who's got their stuff together, if you will, that you are able to, like someone who has a chauffeur's license, right? You're like, well, that person, because I had a friend, my friend Jason, when we got arrested for climbing on top of the building, he had a chauffeur's license.
And what exactly is a chauffeur's license? Does that allow you to drive stretch limousines?
Well, it allows you to drive other people professionally. Like, before Uber was Uber, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules on that are, but at least this guy had a license that allowed him to drive other people.
Yeah, that's probably well before the car sharing explosion.
Yes.
Or ride sharing, whatever it's called.
So I think it's ride sharing. I don't think you actually share your car with people. Although there is a car sharing, like Car2Go.
Yeah, Car2Go.
That's a car sharing thing.
Reach Now is another one.
I drove a Car2Go car, and I was a little. It was a little the smart cars are a little scarier to drive than I thought they would be.
I hadn't driven in one, but I was in one once in a Car2Go smart car.
And it is kind of like, are you sure this is how it's supposed to sound and operate?
Here in Seattle,
but, you know,
I don't know if you know this, but so we had Car2Gos everywhere, but they got rid of the smart cars. Now the Car2Gos are all Mercedes and BMWs and fancy cars.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So that's what Reach Around, I mean, Reach Now had.
Wait, hold on.
But that's what Reach Now had going for them, is because they were like the luxury car sharing service.
Gotcha.
Now now Car2Go has the same type of cars. And they're not so easily identifiable on the streets.
The Car2Go experience that I had, the last one, last Car2Go I took, and was also the last time that you and I performed in a thing called Bumbershoot.
Oh, did you get a Car2Go after that day?
Yeah. In fact, I think you guys walked me to my car.
Probably.
And I said goodbye, and then I went off in my Car2Go.
Yeah.
And And I left Seattle pretty close to after that. It was, yeah, it wasn't that much longer.
Bumbershoot was in September. You were out of here by October.
And that's right. The very first Goody Lawrence podcast is us talking about how we think our Bumbershoot thing went.
Exactly. So if you want to listen to that, go back and listen to episode number one of the Goody Lawrence podcast.
Oh, you should. It's so good. Is it? I don't know.
Who knows?
Probably. It's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, I think
so. So, but
I own my own car, right? And I pay for a parking spot, and I pay for repairs. And I just said earlier that I don't really buy gas all that often. So, you know, the price of gas isn't really a concern, but repairs they get kind of annoying. My car leaks oil because it's old, incontinent. But I'm thinking that, you know, if the car just gets too expensive to maintain, I'm just gonna get rid of it. And only use car sharing services because, you know, I walk to work. I ride the train when I can. But the problem is, and the only reason I haven't done that yet and saved $200 a month on rent is because I often have to haul film and audio equipment around town.
Yeah. How are you gonna do that, Ben?
I know. Like, if I have to, you know, get a
car
to go that's five blocks away.
Yeah, for those folks who don't know about the car sharing service, you get the car, they say, hey, there's a car here, and you walk to the car, you get the car, you go to the place where you're at, and you leave it, and normally, the way that I would always do it, is you then release the car.
Yes.
It's now in the place where it needs to be. And the great thing about it was that there weren't any crazy spaces that you had to park in. You could park it anywhere,
right?
And the city wouldn't ticket you.
Yeah,
it was the coolest thing.
Any metered spot, you couldn't park it in loading zones or anything like that.
Oh, sure.
And some people would park them in, like, there are a lot of parking spots around here that turn into bus lanes at certain times of day.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's no good.
Certain people would park their car shares in those places at nighttime, just sort of like banking that somebody's going to get the car before 7 a.m. when it turns into a bus lane.
Ooh, yeah, that's...
So that's been an issue.
Oh, okay, so let me tell you this. All right, we were talking about guns a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, tiny bit. I am, because I think it's simply, like I said, osmosis, living in the Midwest, I am more accepting of gun ownership than a lot of people are. You wouldn't know necessarily from my tweets, and the reason is because I don't have a problem with people owning guns as much as I have a problem with disingenuous things or faulty logic.
Right.
And it just so happens that the gun people seem to be doing that more. So I am talking about it more because of that. And one of the examples is did we talk about this the last time, how AR-15 doesn't stand for automatic rifle?
We didn't talk about that.
Assault rifle or whatever. And people were like, hey, liberals, the AR and AR-15 doesn't stand for assault rifle. That's made up.
And liberals like, are like, okay, that doesn't matter.
right. And the liberals are like, okay, was it the gun that was used in the shooting that just happened?
Right.
Yes. And then they say, oh, well, you know, the AR-15 is no more deadly than a regular pistol or a hunting rifle. And again, it's one of those things like, know your audience.
Yeah.
Because you're not helping. They actually gave you an out. If you had been listening, you could have gone, right, okay, I'll get rid of this gun, which I've already gone on record as saying is no worse than other guns. Yeah, I'll get rid of this one, and I'll get one of the other ones. But, of course, that doesn't matter because it's a scorched earth policy. You can't take any of my guns away, and therefore they wouldn't give that easy out. And, of course, I understand. Slippery slope. They don't want to give one gun up because then what's going to stop the other gun from, you know, going away? Whatever.
Once they come for, but yeah, they're going to have to pry my guns out of my cold, dead hands.
Now, the thing... Yes, exactly. Now, the one thing that I think is kind of cool is that most of the people that I know who own guns, right, are all trained on them and are very much, they, I think that they should license guns like you license a car. Like, most of them feel that way. Which is why it's interesting when the NRA stuff comes out, where, you know, we'll pay your legal fees and all that kind of stuff. Until somebody said to me, again, don't know if it's true or not, that the NRA mostly gets donations from gun manufacturers and stuff. That there are people that I mean, they, from what I understand, now I could be wrong, but it's like that cool thing that you liked that then suddenly gets bad. National Rifle Association used to be all about training stuff and all that. Yeah. Oh, like Comic-Con, where Comic-Con becomes more commercial. National Rifle Association was all about, you know, gun safety and all that. And they still are. They still do it. You can still go and see a panel of all your favorite, you know, whoever's. But then in addition to, they also now have all this money coming in.
Yeah.
For fighting regulations.
Yeah,
and stuff,
you're right.
Like,
I mean, I don't remember, like, as a kid, knowing what the National Rifle Association was, but not thinking of it as I think of it today, as just a giant gun lobby. You know, it yeah. was like a club that you could belong to get sort of like to get benefits.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's just because I was ignorant of the whole thing back when I was a child, or if the whole organization has changed in the last 20 years.
I think it has changed, I want to say.
Yeah.
But I watched a little bit of that speech, or not speech, but the debate or the conversation, whatever you want to say.
The one on CNN last night?
Yes. Yeah. So the person who was the spokesperson for the NRA looked at the young activist person. And said,
I thought you were going to say young actor.
No. We'll get into that in just a second, too. But the young activist and said, I got involved in stuff when I was your age. And now look at me. I'm here on this stage. And this is, you know, where you could end up. And I was watching it going, she's already on the stage with you right now. This is she's here already. She's already here. She's already talking to you. So I don't get that part of it. But then I realized, oh, it's condescension. Condescension that this person is so young and therefore not as accomplished and so on and so forth, which was a little jerky. But then, of course, and this is the thing that I had to bring up. Did you watch it?
I did not. No, I was recording Perfect Bound Podcasts last night.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm not really paraphrasing. I'm pretty much quoting, but, you know, I don't have my memory exactly right. But she said, you know, this guy, this is the NRA spokesperson, this guy never should have this gun, this monster, this lunatic, this madman, this crazy, you know, just like constantly using, you know, terms for mentally ill people.
Right.
Over and over and over again in reference to this guy. And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening again, always. And this is the thing. I have no interest in owning a weapon. I mean, maybe a slingshot and some nunchucks and some, no, I'm kidding.
Well, I see that.
Am I?
I grew up
but,
in with gun culture, right? You know, that was,
yeah.
As a little boy, that's what you, that's the toy that you always played with. Everything was a gun. A little stick was
oh, sure.
a gun, right? My dad had guns, and I went shooting with friends. You know, it was all around us, even though I was, you know, just an average suburban kid.
Well, I was thinking about this. I play Fallout 4 now, right?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do on it is to modify my guns so that they kill things better, right? That's like, you know, I'll have my little pieces, and I'll like tinker with them and all that kind of stuff. And I realized that it's a game and I know the difference.
You're not a crazy person. You're not a lunatic. Really.
Right, exactly. But I am, this is the thing that I'm concerned about. Depending on who's doing the measurements and all that kind of stuff, I am kind of a crazy person. Right? And this is the thing I'm afraid of. What is the real thing we're trying to solve? We're trying to solve, you know, people getting shot in schools. And the idea that they, and I say they, but the ideas I have heard floated, right, about why limiting guns won't stop it, right, is if you make it harder to get guns, criminals will still get guns. The right. Bad guys will still get guns. And then I also heard if they can't get a gun, the bad guys, the criminals, and in this case, termed by the, you know, the lunatics, whatever, they'll get anything and they'll kill you with it. They'll kill you with a machete. They'll kill you with a, you know, whatever. They'll stab somebody with a knife.
Yeah.
They'll hit them with a car. They'll, you know, and so if you put, and then the other one, of course, is that the bad guys can get guns.
Well,
and
the, yeah, see,
and then the good people won't have the guns, and so they won't have protection.
That all is twofold, you know, because you have the bad guy, you know, the bad guy is just going to get the guns anyway. But the issue, as I see it, is that these high capacity rifles and high capacity magazines are so readily available, and the process to get them is just too easy.
Right.
So, well, and that's two different things that we need to look at. We need to,
and they would say to you, yes, you're right. It's too easy because these crazy nut jobs are able to get them, and that shouldn't happen.
Well, and that's too easy because there's things like the gun show loophole. There's things like background checks don't work. There's things like even if somebody can pass a background check,
right?
You know,
right, Ben, and they would say, Ben, you're saying exactly what we're saying, Ben. You're on our side. There should be background checks, and when you do the background check, there should be a red flag that pops up that says this person is a Looney Two Shoes and shouldn't own a gun. We agree with you, Ben. That's exactly what we're talking about. And that's how they're going to derail this conversation.
I'm going to come back and say, you know what? Let's just do what Australia did after the Port Arthur massacre and just melt them all down. Get rid of them all.
The thing is that if you follow their logic, Ben, the only way to stop guns from being used to kill people is not to get rid of the guns. It's to remove mentally ill people from society. And that's
really where they're going.
The heck out of me. It really, there's another one. And then I promise I'll get off of this, but the arming teachers thing,
right?
Where they say, and then they backed off. They said, we're not saying arm every teacher. That'd be silly. Arm teachers that are trained, that have the knowledge and ability to use firearms. What that means to me is it's going to be the PE teacher, because the PE teacher is also the health teacher and is also the, you know, driver's ed instructor. The PE teacher gets the job that none of the other people want to do, basically.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a thought.
I saw a meme that was reposted. It was a left meme, so again, I'm not really taking it at face value, but there was some statistic where it was like, you know, Trump wants to arm teachers, but New York City police have an 18% hit rate.
Yeah.
Trained New York City policemen only hit their targets 18%. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly believable.
Now, here's the thing. It's a kind of a twofold deal. Let's say that you get trained people in schools as teachers, right? There's something that DeVos said when she was, you know, being picked for the educational candidate person, that we don't fire teachers enough. So what kind of teacher, right, isn't going to want to be a tactical line of defense who may have to shoot a student.
Right.
It's going to be mostly, and I'm guessing here, I could be wrong, but I would say mostly more liberal teachers, probably. Which teacher would be like, sure, I'll shoot somebody.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Maybe a little bit more conservative.
I'll shoot one of the students.
I'm just saying.
I'll shoot somebody who wanders onto campus who looks shady.
When the suggestion was that we need to get rid of a lot of these teachers, right? In the teachers' union, all that kind of stuff. This is a way that one might be able to do that. That's all I'm saying. It's not a slippery slope, but what I'm saying is it's a tactic that might be being employed right now. And the other thing, of course, that some people have put up, if you're the NRA, what's your job? Selling guns. If your job is selling guns, what's the solution to all gun problems? More guns.
Exactly.
More guns need to be bought. So yeah, I get it. It makes my head hurt, Ben. It makes my head hurt, Ben. I'm sorry, Ben.
Ow, stop it.
Yeah. So we are at a half hour mark, which I think is a great time for us to talk about what we normally do on this program instead of listening to me complain about stuff. Wait, or am I wrong? Do we also do that? Is that something we normally do? Probably.
We normally just listen to you complain about stuff?
I mean, that's part of it, I guess.
That's a large content.
But a lot of what else we do is a thing called corrections. Corrections.
Ding.
Ding. What is corrections? Or what are corrections? Well, corrections is a segment where we employ corrections, which are people writing in telling us stuff that we got wrong on the podcast. Because for those of you who are just listening and decide to start on this episode for some reason, Ben and I do not use Google when doing this podcast, and we hardly ever research anything. Most of what we do is just kind of off the top of our heads, and we say what we think is right, but we always remind ourselves to keep it wrong and just go with it and let people correct us when we get it wrong. And that's what we're doing right now. Ben, is it up already, or should I vamp more?
No, I got it.
Okay. Most of our corrections come from a single source, my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who listens to the show and finds out all the stuff we do wrong. But anyone, sorry, I might have peaked there, Ben. Anyone is free to submit their corrections. All they have to do is write to Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com. Ben, did I get that right?
That is correct.
Oh, very good. Okay, so let's go. What's up?
First off, Jennifer sent me a text earlier today saying that there was a lot, so I'm free to take and leave any of this as I feel. And there is quite a bit, but the first one is she caught me eating. I was eating a bag of potato chips.
What? You heard it. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, I can't believe it.
She caught me eating.
It's not just me.
But man, those chips are just so good. I was hungry, Paul. I was hungry.
Hey, man, I get it. I eat all the time on this show, but I'm trying not to.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I wasn't eating directly into the microphone. I was eating further back, but I guess the microphone is just too GD sensitive.
Gotcha.
We were talking about super PACs, I guess.
Oh,
and
okay.
How they might be something about money laundering. How super PACs
might be money laundering from
Russians to political campaigns.
Oh, it was actually the NRA. Surprisingly enough,
right?
That was the idea. And I don't know if the NRA is a super PAC.
No, the NRA is not a super PAC.
Right. But the idea was that the NRA was taking money from the Russians and giving it to the Trump campaign, which is completely unfounded on this podcast. I'm just saying that that's what I heard somewhere else.
Well, anyway, she says that in January of this year, the FBI initiated an investigation into whether or not a Russian central banker was illegally funding contributions to Trump through the NRA. The investigation is obviously ongoing. And so I guess, the NRA was just taking donations, illegal donations from a Russian. But apparently they're actually using the term money laundering and are investigating multiple shell companies and anonymous LLCs that are pouring money into Trump brand properties.
Wow.
So even though super PACs are not required to produce their donors, a list of their donors, they still can't accept illegal contributions and engage in racketeering.
That seems
so
good.
Building a case for it, it's difficult, but it seems the offenses are so egregious that it's become impossible to ignore.
Wow.
So, and then I said, was Super Pac-Man a game? And she says, Super Pac-Man was totally a game. It was released in 1982 by Namco as an arcade cabinet game, and then over the years for the Commodore 64, DOS, and PlayStation.
Wow, Super Pac-Man.
Super Pac-Man.
She doesn't go into what it does that's different or anything, right?
Nope.
Okay. Just checking.
We had a long conversation about government cheese.
Oh, yes, we did.
And she says it's a huge topic, but she'll sum it up. Government cheese is from a cheese stockpile that was created probably right after World War II, some say in the 60s, due to a surplus of milk products in the market, driving prices down and bankrupting dairy farms. Poor cows. There's one type of government cheese. The stockpile was opened for direct distribution in 82 when advocates learned of the stockpiles and called for distribution to people experiencing food insecurity. That's a nice way to say starving.
Can I pause for just 1 second?
Yeah.
So this stockpile of cheese, the government cheese had been around for like 20 years?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, this is cheese made of milk that came from cows in the 50s and 60s?
I mean, maybe. I don't know what the cheese process is, how old. I mean, you hear about, an egg that was 100 years old or whatever that somebody cracked open and ate or whatever.
Because the stockpile is made up of cheeses from a bunch of different farms and processing plants, my government cheese is not your government cheese. Some loaves are just really crappy American cheeses. Some are made of Colby or cheddar or both. Some have been described as a, quote, processed granular cheese, crumbly hard cheese that didn't really melt. Sound familiar, Paul?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That Ben, that's the cheese. That is exactly what it was. Now, hold on. Did she just take that from my description, or did she find it?
She
doesn't say, I'm guessing.
No, but processed granular cheese is in quotes, so I'm wondering if she's either quoting you or something else.
I think that, that is exactly the cheese I described. I don't know if she found out, because I wanted to know exactly, what type it was. Oh my God!
Yeah.
If she actually found a reference to it,
my government cheese was more along the American cheese style.
That's Jennifer's also.
Yeah, I'd call it cheddar, but back then I didn't really know the difference between American and cheddar.
Yeah. Really?
So that,
wow, that's
it. That's it for government cheese.
Okay. And I just want to point out again that I finally found a processed cheese I like. It's called Provel, and it's a cross between provolone, mozzarella, and some kind of evil.
It's processed cheese food.
It's got smoke flavor added to it.
Smoke flavor? This is just some old some old woman with a cigarette going, here's your smoke flavor.
I like it.
All right. We were talking.
Okay, so what's next?
We were talking about the concealed carry law in Missouri. I guess?
Yes. Well, there's a difference between concealed carry in Missouri and Illinois. The idea is that
that's right.
one works in Missouri and the Missouri one doesn't
work
in Illinois.
So the Missouri concealed carry law basically no longer exists. As of January 1st of 2017, anyone 19 or older who's not a felon or has been convicted of a crime related to domestic violence can either open carry or conceal carry with no additional training or permit. Well, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, that's great. And this actually brings up an interesting thing, Ben.
Yeah.
If I can digress for a second. Gun auctions for charity.
We'll pay your medical bills.
No. Well, I mean, no, but this happens. I mean, someone could conceivably pay someone's medical bills, like a child with cancer, for instance, by auctioning off a gun. Here's the thing. People live on both sides of the river here and meet at different places, right? Does that make sense? So someone from St. Louis might come to church in Illinois.
Right.
Someone in Illinois might go. So if there is a gun auction and you bid on the gun and it's in Illinois and you win, you might have a hard time getting the gun, actually.
Yeah.
Because what they do is once you've won the gun, it goes to a gun store. The gun store then sells you the gun.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's, for the price that you...
That kind of...
So...
Those kinds of differing state regulations in such a large metropolitan area can, I'm sure, can get quite perplexing.
Oh, yeah. I am convinced that there are people from Missouri who come over to Illinois all the time and don't really... I'm sure someone keys them into it eventually, but I can see how you might not know that you're not supposed to have it.
Imagine if Seattle was like in one state north of the Ship Canal and another state south of the Ship Canal, and those two areas had different laws.
Oh, I've got an even better one. White City. White City, sorry. White Center. There's a White City. There's a White City in Illinois. That we drive past when we go to Springfield. So, sorry about that.
So White Center
is not part of Seattle. It has different city ordinances. You can buy fireworks in White Center.
Right.
Legally, same
I think,
thing.
Is the operative word there.
Yes, exactly, legally. So maybe, yeah, you can buy lots of stuff in White Center, but you can legally buy fireworks there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what if you could legally buy firearms there? That'd be crazy, right?
That would be crazy.
And that's the thing that people bring up Chicago and say, look at the Chicago tried gun control and it doesn't work. And it's like, yeah, but Indiana's right there and Michigan and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, again, I saw another one of these left blog posts that has, you know, the correlation between cities or states, I think it's states with strict gun laws versus states with lax gun laws and the amount of shootings, like either lethal or non-lethal shootings, is basically inversely proportional.
Oh.
So, anyway, well, again, who knows where this place got their stats or what even the stats are. But it was a pretty graph.
So where are we at now?
One more thing about next? Concealed carry between Illinois and Missouri.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Illinois requires a concealed carry permit. Thus, a person from Illinois can conceal carry their weapon to Missouri, but the person from Missouri may not carry their concealed weapon in Illinois without a permit. So there you go.
That is correct.
And one final thing. We every once in a while on this show, we try to guess the population of cities, and we always get it wrong.
Oh, no. That's right. I before you say anything, I tried to figure out how many guns that somebody... And if you took all the AR-15s and divided them among the people in my town, I said something like everyone would have 4,000. It was probably closer to 400, and even that was probably wrong.
Yeah.
Probably closer to like
200. I just want to read the top line of this one.
Because, yeah, she's gonna mock the heck out of me.
Well, it's not that bad. She just says, okay. Seriously, Paul, get it together. So, Edwardsville has a population of 25,000-ish, not 12,000-ish, and 5 million divided by 25,000 is 200. 200 AR-15s per person.
Hey, look, I did it right in my head. Right. from this.
And again, the reason
I keep on saying 12,000 is that the population of Edwardsville has basically doubled since I went to high school here.
You know what? I'm not even going to believe that, because next week she's going to come back and she's going to be like, "No, Paul." All right. Anyway, keep it wrong. Keep it wrong, guys. So that's the end of corrections.
Hey, Ben, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a grocery store called Fresh Thyme?
Fresh, like thyme as in
the herb?
No, I have not.
Okay, because apparently we're going to get one here in Edwardsville pretty soon. And
I remember.
Can I tell you?
I remember when I was a kid on Fast Food Row in Olympia, Washington, which was on Slater-Kinney Road. And by Fast Food Row, I mean there was a McDonald's, there was a Wendy's, there was a Burger King. They were all neighbors. And there was a fast food joint that was like high class fast food called Rax, which I always loved going there.
Wait, Rax was high class?
Well.
Because we had a Rax.
As far as fast food goes, right?
Well, it was very similar to Arby's, as far as I remember.
Well, for an 8-year-old kid, yeah. It felt like, you know, the food was probably a little bit more expensive, but the dining room was in like, you know, for like Burger King and McDonald's and Wendy's and Arby's, the color scheme is very like bright primary colors, especially McDonald's, which is where we went most of the time. But Rax was like going to an Olive Garden.
That's very interesting.
The thing that Rax had going for it, which is why I always wanted to go there, is that part of the dining area was this sunken sunroom. And so I don't know why, but I was as a kid, I always wanted to sit in the sunken sunroom part of the dining room.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And
they
tore that place down. They closed because I grew up and stopped going there. I guess I was the one keeping that place afloat.
No. They used to have a Rax here, and we don't have it anymore either. You know what we used to have that we still do have? Lion's Choice, Ben.
Who?
Lion's Choice.
Lion's Choice?
Yes. When we get some money after payday, what I will do is we will go to St. Louis. We will go to the there's not a Wajamaya, but there are things similar to it.
Yeah.
Seafood City is one of them. But we go to places where they sell international foods. One of the places, which is really cool, there's a place, it's an international market that sells stuff from Africa. And I've gotten addicted to these little Milo cubes. And here's what it is. It's malted milk in basically the size of a bouillon cube.
Yeah.
So chocolate malted milk in the size of, and you unwrap it and you just chew it. And it breaks apart in like a little bit of a powder.
Is it?
And it's really good.
Is it sweet like candy?
Oh yeah. It's like imagine you put a spoonful of Nesquik in your mouth, kind of. now take that example and imagine how you used to maybe eat a sugar cube when you were a kid. Right? It's like that. I used a
bowl of cereal to eat all of my sugar cubes.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. But it's just this chocolatey, chalky treat. I don't know how to describe it. It's good. But anyway, so we go to these places in St. Louis, and then on the way home, we go by Lion's Choice. Lion's Choice is they sell roast beef sandwiches, and they're good.
Like Arby's?
No, better than Arby's. They're like meat. Like actual meat. I don't know how to describe it. But slices of meat.
Speaking of Wajamaya,
I'm
actually headed to Wajamaya tonight because I have a show down at Theater Off Jackson. And
hey,
so
Theater Off Jackson.
I'll be stopping by Wajamaya to get my dinner.
Jennifer and I got married at Theater Off Jackson.
Yes, you did.
And we like it. Ben, did you and I ever perform? We performed there for part of Sketchfest.
We did 20 minutes on a Thursday for Sketchfest. I think that was the only time you and I were on that stage together.
And it was the only time that we ever, that's the longest we've ever performed, I think. Non-scripted stuff. I mean,
right, like Naked Ladies was longer than an hour long.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Bumbershoot performance was just a that Sketchfest performance, much like our Bumbershoot performance, was just a bunch of our old pieces strung together.
Because why not? Do what works.
If you have that catalog in your back pocket, use it.
Oh, man. And I got to say, I still remember our Bumbershoot performance. Probably our best performance. We really, I mean, folks dug it.
Yeah, I think all 20 people in the Leo K. Theater at the Seattle Rep dug it.
Now I have to say that, of course, we had moments that defied logic and description, and that people loved. They loved the anti-improv. That was a good one. But I remember that you and I occasionally would reduce an entire theater full of people to like screaming, and it was the best when that could happen.
Like organically.
Yeah. Exactly.
None of those audience pesticides.
I do love Empty Them Dream Catchers. I think that was one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, we have that. We taped that, and one of the best things is hearing one of the audience members go, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. So, speaking of "Oh my god," Ben. Hey, Betty.
Oh god.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, Ben. Now you may not notice this, but I notice it. Betty has become a tiny grown-up a little bit. She has become much more serious.
Are you saying that she is maturing?
You can't be serious.
Yes.
Are you serious? Seriously.
She's she's so much more mature than you. Okay. So she's proven me wrong, obviously.
Of course. I mean, I was just going to say, if I heard one of my parents say that to one of their friends, I would immediately do the most immature thing I would think of in the moment.
And that's kind of what she's doing. Hey, Betty, how's it going? Here, put Ben in your ear.
Here's Ben in your ear.
Betty has blue glasses. And she can see very much well, with the glasses.
And she can speak gooder.
Exactly. She
how long has Betty worn glasses? Has Betty always worn glasses?
Betty, how long have you worn glasses?
About a year now.
Yeah, about a year. Oh. That sounds about right.
About a year.
I'm actually thinking about when these glasses break, I might actually try putting in contact lenses.
Oh my gosh, Betty.
See how those work.
Ben, have you used contact lenses?
I have not. I've only been wearing glasses for about 8 years now, but I will not wear contacts.
I did not enjoy my time with contacts.
Hey, well, you know, my time can be different than you.
Yeah, that's right. It's true. That's right. Hey, Betty and Ben.
Yes.
Have either of you heard the song "The Ugly One with the Jewels" by Laurie Anderson?
No.
Nope.
Laurie Anderson talks about time that she spent in Africa, and the women where she was staying called her the ugly one with the jewels. And they explained that that all that they knew is that she had these expensive jewels that she hid in a box at night and then put them in her eyes during the daytime.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but it was pretty good.
When I lived at Mr. House, we had, at one point, hippies who lived next door, and they would always just...
Hippies?
Hippies. And if you imagine what white suburban Seattle hippies would look like, this is what these people looked like.
Oh,
and
Ben, I can imagine.
And one of their favorite pastimes was to sit on the front porch and play guitar and sing.
Uh-huh.
And this front porch faced our kitchen window. And so my roommate at the time, Steven, overheard them singing one day, and he said that the song they were singing was called The Man in the Kitchen.
Oh, no.
So every time we would see them sitting out on the front porch playing the guitar, we would be like, Man in the Kitchen.
Nice.
That's who we were.
I think I may or may not have told you about this already. This time, Betty, you will like this story.
Okay.
What if I don't? Oh, you'll see what happens then. I was at Seattle Community College. I wasn't going to Seattle Community College at the time. I was living in Capitol Hill, walking by Seattle Community College. And there was a drum circle. And you know how memory of eyewitness accounts can play tricks on you? I want to swear that this guy was a full-on hippie. Like, maybe not white guy dreadlocks, but like long, stringy white guy hair.
Yeah.
And one of those sweatshirts or it's not really a sweatshirt. You know what I'm talking about? That like people weave those like...
It's a homemade
sweater.
They're
not really parkas, but they're kind of...
Oh my God, they don't have to know about his clothes.
Okay, all right. So there's a drum circle, right? And Bae, do you know what a drum circle is?
It's a circle with drums.
A whole bunch of people playing drums together.
But wait, Paul.
I think that's what that is.
And they're all playing drums.
But Paul, what were they wearing?
Drum circle. What? What's that?
What were they wearing?
Oh, Ben. So they're all playing their drums, and then all of a sudden this guy stands up and goes, "Man, f- this," and takes his drum and walks away.
You're goddamn right.
I never asked. I wanted to, but he was like mad, and I don't like confrontation. I wanted to know what had happened. Like, had he had an epiphany?
Well, he probably told someone to play their drums on the 1/3 beat, and he was going to play on the 2/4, but they just kept messing it up.
Right, and that conversation, maybe I missed that conversation, so that's why it seemed like it came out of nowhere. But I still love it, and I really do think that it would make a fine, you know, candid camera moment. Like you have an orchestra playing and somebody in the middle of it goes, "Man, f- this shit." Sorry, Ben. I know that I'm...
Man, f- this shit.
Oh, no.
All right.
What an influence I've become.
I'm leaving that in the show.
Oh, no.
Paul's 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah. Man, Betty loves swearing now. She used to hate it, and now she does it. All that she'll...
Does she know the rules? Does she know not to say it at school? Or in front of other adults?
No, she can't say it at school.
No.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
She can't say it around grandma and grandpa. At least my parents.
You mean the Lutheran minister grandma and grandpa?
Yeah. Lutheran minister and church organist. although they're both retired now. And yet they're still doing it.
Of course.
Because... I don't know if you know this, Ben, but...
you can take the man out of the church,
aging.
But you can't take the church out of the man?
Well, you can try. But no, not a lot of kids like going to church. And not a lot of parents are forcing their kids to go to church.
Yeah.
So it's...
You mean
aging.
Not enough parents are...
Oh, my God.
Are you saying
that
congregations
Betty?
Are getting older and older and older these days?
Congregations are getting older. That's right.
Yeah, I totally dig that. My parents... who never went to church when I was a kid, have started going.
Yeah. Oh, see, I can believe that. It's a social thing for some people.
It is a social thing. And the church is within walking distance of their house. It's just down the street. So they just just wander down there with the dogs.
Uh-oh.
So again, what's this about me?
Yeah, I can see. You can see it on. You can't sell, man, but you can see it on Betty's face when she suddenly realizes that no one is paying attention to her in the yelling for Betty segment.
All she's got to do is just say "fuck this shit," and then we'll start paying attention again.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, so it does look like it's that time, Ben, for us to.
It is that time.
"Fuck this shit."
Oh my God!
Can I sample that and put it in a song?
Sure you can. Okay, she just walked out.
All right.
So I'm gonna upload this, and then we're gonna go buy her some shoes.
All right. Well, have fun buying some shoes.
Hey Ben, it was great talking to you as always.
Yeah.
And keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.